Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? You're tuned into The Recruit with Agent Reese, brought to you by Sora Radio. Big ups to PDP Richardson. And we got a good show for you today. I'm excited about it. As always, you know, there's not a show that I'm not excited about because it's another opportunity to share what God is doing in my life, share what God is doing in all other lives. And I got a special guest on with me today, Mr. Keontae Dawson. Keith Dawson, he's from Shreveport, Louisiana, but he went to Texas Tech, played football there. And just a little background on how he and I met. He was a senior when I was a freshman. And when I came in as a freshman, and you know, I played as a true freshman, so I got a chance to practice and play with him. And he was a guy that the coaches always use as an example. You know, they say, well, do it like Keontae do it, and do it. See how hard he's working and see how he do this. And, you know, he lives like this and his work ethic like that. And, you know, he was always that guy. And I had mad respect for him, and I still do. And that was what I saw on the football field. And then, you know, later on throughout the season, throughout my freshman year, I started going to a Bible study with Dr. John Thomas, who I had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Dr. T. But the first time I walked into that Bible study, Keontae was there. And I'm like, dang, this big dude, Keontae, he's doing everything on the field, and he in Bible study. And so, you know, that was inspiring to me, just seeing how someone could be dedicated to football and be great and so great on the field and also have that same dedication in Christ and pursuing Christ. And as a freshman, you know, we're always looking up to the ones who've been there, the seniors, because, you know, they're big dogs on campus, and they've been doing it. They're doing everything that I want to do. And so looking at this guy and seeing him and the walk that he was walking and how he was being successful on the field, but how he had the humble spirit, and he was humble enough to, you know, step back and give time and dedicate time to God consistently. And that was just inspiring to me. And even watching him throughout after he graduated from college and went on to the NFL, went on to bigger and better things, just watching the life he lives and kind of keeping up with him. It's just in how he's kept his humble spirit. That's always been an inspiration to me. And he's from a rival high school. I'm from Longview, Texas. He went to Evangel High School in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was always a rivalry every year. We played him. And, you know, most times Longview won, of course. But at the end of the day, he's still cool. And but with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Key Dawson. How you doing, Key?
How you doing, man? Appreciate you having me today.
Oh, man, ain't no problem, man. But, you know, I gave a little brief history on you, a little background on you, but just tell people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, and first of all, I never lost to Longview, so I just want to get that out there right away. Yeah, man, my name is Keontae Dawson. Everybody call me Key. I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. The son of a pastor, you know, always I had a lot of discipline in my life early on, but, you know, I still had opportunities to go off the path that God wanted me to go on, but, you know, perhaps a lot of people prayed for me and had a lot of support by other people, but, you know, I have what by human standards are a successful career, but, you know, I always try to do my best to help others and go out and just be an example for other people. And, you know, and just go out and
Hello? I think we lost. Yeah.
Hello?
I thought I lost you for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. But, I was saying, yeah, just go out and be a good example in the community for others and just try to make my family and my city and most of all my God proud of me.
I mean, that's I kind of knew that you were from a Christian family. You know, my parents were, and just in talking to you last week, and I've talked to my parents before, and you know, they know your dad being from just 60 minutes apart, Shreveport and Longview. They've been in church and been in service with your dad and him being a pastor. But how was it really, how was it growing up in that environment, being the son of a pastor?
Well, you know, as a PK too, you know, you gotta bullseye. You always gotta focus on you, and usually a lot of the pastor kids end up going astray because they feel like they gotta live up to a certain standard, and a lot of times that standard is put upon them by, you know, other people in the church and other people in the community. So it's definitely a different lifestyle to grow up in. I'm blessed and I'm grateful that I had a godly mom and a godly dad to show me an example of how to live life and how to treat people. But it is a different lifestyle to grow up in. You know, my pops was very strict and disciplined. You know, he's a son of a sharecropper. And, you know, my mom, you know, grew up in a very disciplined household with a lot of family. So, you know, we had expectations on us, you know, A, to get an education, you know, B, to always treat people right and try to give and be generous with your time and money, and always go out and do your best, you know, at your work. So, you know, I can remember seeing my pops get up, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. He had another job too. Get up 5 o'clock in the morning, go to work, see my mom, you know, taking care of the house. It was 4 boys. It was 4 of us. So in the household, so, you know, we gave her a lot of gray hair growing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, just seeing them, never complaining, always willing to help the neighbor was a blessing for me.
And you said that your dad was a sharecropper.
My grandfather was a sharecropper. We all grew up, you know, in a tight-knit community, you know, right down the street from my grandfather, grandmother. And after the land that he used to work, he actually saved up enough money over the years and bought all the land, and it became family land. So just coming from that example was a big deal for me.
And that's a blessing right there, just like you said, and that discipline that was instilled in you from your dad and from your grandfather. And just like I said before, I know the discipline. I saw the discipline on the football field when I came to Tech. And so would you say that had a lot to do with the way that you discipline yourself in athletics and in school?
Yeah. Well, you know, I never was growing up as a kid. I never was one of those guys that was the most flashy athlete or the guy that they always picked out to be, you know, the superstar, the next guy. You know, I was never the one that they said, well, he's going to be the professional athlete when he grows up. So, you know, I always had to work harder to be able to keep up with the other kids. So, you know, I was always a little bit shorter, a little bit, you know, I was a little bit weaker and everything else. And I'm the baby of my family, too. So some of that has to do with that because I had to keep up with my older brothers. So, you know, if you wasn't tough, you weren't going to survive. You know, so it was one of those deals where, you know, I always wanted to do a little bit more just to be on the same level as other people. So, you know, you can take that situation as good and as bad, you know. But, you know, I felt like, you know, when I going to school and doing other things, you know, when I went to Lubbock to play football and go to school, I knew that was the reason why I was there. So when I stepped on campus, I was like, well, a lot of other things that goes along with college life, you know, I need to kind of put that to the side because, you know, I didn't see a lot of people from where I came from being able to go to college and being able to, you know, just have a normal career because I was one of the guys that, I didn't have an outlook of going to the NFL playing professional football when I got to school. I was like, I need to focus on getting my education, leaving here with a degree, and whatever happens, happens. So that was kind of my mentality, like, you know, put everything by the wayside, you know, and just focus in on, you know, my relationship with my friend, but, you know, most importantly, you know, staying at, finding a good church when I got there, staying in the Word, getting around good, godly people, and going to school and playing football to the best of my ability.
And that's really kind of interesting because me personally, my mindset going into college was total opposite of yours. You know, yeah. I went like, man, I'm just here because this is the next step to the league. And, yeah. You know, I didn't end up making it to the NFL, but, you know, I know a lot of guys, a lot of college athletes go into college with the same mindset I had. And to hear you say that wasn't yours, that's a testament in itself. Because there's so many people, and the percentage of college athletes who actually make it pro is so low.
It's a small percentage, man.
Yeah, and education is something that you will always be able to fall back on, whether it's a college degree or whether it's a high school diploma or whether it's just continued education after high school and certifications in different areas. But to hear you say that was your focus going in, it just shows why you're as successful as you are today. And even just in your conversation, you know, you can hear the way that you talk and the way and knowing how you carry yourself, it shows that that was a principle that was instilled in you. And was that always something, as far as grades go, where you, I know you had to keep up, you said you had to keep up with your older brothers.
Yeah.
Athletically and with your peers athletically, but was that also the case in school, in your schoolwork?
Yeah, I struggled in school. I always had a hunger and a thirst to learn. Always wanted to find out new things and why things worked the way they did. But, you know, just being able to stay focused in class and, you know, and do the things that are necessary. But, anything I did, I felt like if I worked hard enough, I could get the job done. So that's the kind of mentality I took. In grade school, early on, I had some struggles. I had some things for us like dyslexia and other things that creeped up that caused my grades to slip a little bit. And in high school, I had some issues with, you know, not focusing and getting into other things that I ain't supposed to get into. So, you know, early in my career in high school, I had a injury where I broke my hand in three places, and I was kind of out of football for a little bit during the springtime, and I started to slide into some bad habits and let my grades drop and everything like that, and, you know, not get into my actual faith story, but, you know, that was the time that I kind of had a new found appreciation for my faith, and it was kind of like my second coming to Jesus moment. But in school, you know, it was a deal where, you know, if I knew that, you know, no chance was too big, you know, if you just worked at it. So it might have meant that I had to spend a lot more time studying a subject or reading a book or doing other things more than somebody else did. But I knew that, you know, it was kind of like, my competitive spirit coming out. I knew that if I put in the time, you know, nobody could stop me from reaching the goal that God wanted for me.
And that's it sounds like you had the true, like, the story of an almost an underdog. Like you said, you had to fight and scratch to keep up with those around you, and you weren't always viewed as the best at this and the best at that. And so you just really had to scratch for yours in order to keep up, and just that determination, like you said, that determination, that work ethic of if you work towards your goals and just put your head down and plow through, then you can accomplish anything. And you mentioned how in your freshman year in high school, in breaking your hand, and that was kind of your second coming to Jesus in a way. And was that a time when you would say you really got serious about your walk with Christ?
Yeah, I could say that. I was baptized and saved at an early age. I always felt a calling from a very young age, and I always felt a tug towards the church and towards God and the relationship. But, you know, I got into school, you know, you go to adolescent and you go to school and you get new friends. And, you know, I actually went to a Christian school in high school, you know, for elementary, middle school. I went to public school and then high school because I knew my brothers and stuff. My older brothers went to Evangel, so I knew I was going there for high school. And after that, I found, you know, so I found some friends and got into some situations that, you know, I didn't have when I was in the public schools, and I was in a quote-unquote Christian school. So, you know, I had one situation I can recall that, you know, I was at school and I skipped school that day, and it was during the time I had an injury. I had that injury, and I went, you know, we had our field house in the back by the stadium, and I went to go just relax back there before we had practice that afternoon. And when I went in there, it was two other friends that I knew, two of the guys that I knew that were back there, and I didn't know it, but I went back there just to relax, and they had drugs in the field house. So, you know, we coming out of the field house, and we see a police officer. So they take off running, and I'm just standing there like, wow, this is crazy. So, you know, they called the two guys. They brought me and the other two guys to the principal, and they was like, well, they was in the field house, and these three guys in here, and we found these pills. So, you know, I'm like, I just walked back here. You know, I skipped my last period of class. You know, I had nothing to do with it. You know, I just came in, I saw them, and then we walked out together, and they saw you. So, you know, the only thing that saved me in that situation was the principal kind of knew my family and knew my character and said, well, you know, Key, I never seen anything from Key like this, you know. I know his family. I know he's a solid guy, and, you know, we're not going to do anything to any of the guys. But, you know, it was kind of like a wake-up call to me that even though I wasn't hanging out, that, you know, or even I wasn't partaking in that activity, that things around me, if I associated with certain people, things around me could have affected my life, because that could have changed the direction of my life right then and there if they decided to, you know, either prosecute me or do something else, or I could have went down another road at that point. So it kind of showed me that, you know, how fragile and how precious, you know, the opportunities you have are, and how precious life is. So, you know, I started to really, and I had kind of swayed a little bit from my faith, and, you know, I kind of like straightened up. Start flying right and start getting my word and start, you know, getting around godly. And, you know, I had good friends, but I was kind of getting away from them. I started getting attached and plugged in with those people again and got more active in my church again. And that was a time where I had a period of new growth in my faith.
And that's and you hit on it by saying how that was a moment when you weren't in the wrong, but to one extent, but you were in the wrong in the other because you were skipping class.
Yeah.
And, you know, had you not been skipping class, you wouldn't have been in the situation in the first place. And so it's really kind of amazing. Just like you said, it opened your eyes to how even though you were really in the wrong and you put yourself in a bad situation, God still protected you in that bad situation.
Yeah.
And to me, it kind of illustrates God's His grace and His mercy when we make bad choices and we put ourselves in bad situations. He's still there, and He's still faithful to forgive and to give us another chance. And you know, that's amazing, because even being a freshman in high school, that's a young age to even be serious about God. Because me personally, I knew God. I mean, I was in the church. My dad's a pastor as well. But I didn't get serious, and I didn't give my life to Christ until I was 23 years old. And I just remember my mindset as a freshman in high school. It wasn't nowhere near, you know, hey, okay, I'm going to live for God. But to to hear that and to know that that was your mindset then, that's a testament in itself. And so, but even at that age and going through high school and going into college, like, how was it being young and having that mindset of being serious about living for God? What were there any challenges that you faced or things that you felt like you missed out on or in living for God?
No, I don't think I missed out on anything. You know, when you're younger, you do have different pressures and different things pulling on you. You know, I was a little bit different because I always, you know, I always felt like I was a little bit different. You know, I never did the same things other people did. But like you do have that pressure. The same pressures I felt when I first got to college was the same pressures that I felt, but I was more able and equipped when I got to the NFL, where you have guys that, you know, they call you non-social because you don't want to go out, or I even had guys, you know, call me square and do all this, you know, lame and stuff. Like, you don't drink, you don't do this, you don't take pills, you don't do all that, and I just always felt like, you know, my time and my life had a greater purpose than just to go out and just do, you know, whatever. But I also can use those opportunities to witness and lead by example too. So, you know, you have the normal pressures that, I have the normal pressures that everybody else, you know, have. I don't feel like I was special, but, you know, I felt like my relationship with God was more important than a relationship with the world.
And, man, you almost made me say amen. but, you know, that's exactly it. And, you know, I can agree with that now, you know, in the state of mind that I'm in the state of my heart, you know, and just really being on the same page and living for God. But even in college, and just kind of share with us a little bit about your experience in college and just playing football, being an athlete, because there's stereotypes that come along with being an athlete, especially a football player. And just how was it in dealing with those different stereotypes of whether it be just being, you know, all football players unfaithful, all football players, you know, they lie, they do this, do whatever, because you see the majority of them do that. Or you see that in the news all the time. You know, football players getting in trouble, getting caught for this and getting caught for that. You know, how was that? How were you able to withstand, and how did your faith play a role in that?
It was very important to me to, like I say, it was like very important to me to live up to the standard that, you know, God set for me in my life, and live up to the standard that my parents set for me. You know, it don't mean I did everything right. It don't mean that, you know, I didn't fall, I didn't have problems, but, you know, always, anytime I did fall, you know, I felt like I needed to get closer to God. It always led me back to God. And you know, I was fortunate and blessed by God to meet some really good people when I first got to college. You know, Dr. John Thomas was one of them, the doctor you had on a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I became friends with Manny Ramirez. He was the co-founder of ACTS organization with the Bible study. And, you know, I really just try to, you know, surround myself with good and godly people. And it doesn't mean that you're non-social. You treat somebody who's not at the same level of maturity or in the same level of growth and crisis as you. You don't treat them any differently. But you just know that you can only do so much or go so far with them. Like, you know, so I always try to, you know, and another thing too, you know, in my junior year in college, I had the honor of being named team captain. Me and Manny did. So when you have that responsibility and that label on you, you know, it helps you to, it don't help you, but it motivates you to be the best example and do the things, because you know you got younger people coming up behind you, and you know that the position that you're in is a blessing, and not everybody gets that opportunity. So you want to show the next group of people that's coming behind you how to use the things that they have and the opportunity they have for the best and use it for the kingdom. And that was the one of the things with the Bible study, is actually showing that example. And it's kind of like what you were saying too. You saw that, you know, I wasn't the guy that ran up and hit you over the head with the Bible. But you saw that example for not just me, but a lot of other people on that team and around that campus. And it's another great thing to be able to show other people on the campus that, you know, football players just don't go out and drink and mess with girls and you know, steal and do all the other things that, you know, the media wants you to think they do. But you do have people that, you know, that will live on a higher standard, and their foundation is built on that rock. And you can kind of see it when you're around those people. And I had an opportunity to witness to another football players and people on campus and people in the city and town because of my stand. So I knew that God was using me for something.
Uh-huh.
And it was really hard. He made it almost impossible for me to let him down, because I knew that, I wasn't there just for me. It was a bigger purpose. I had a bigger purpose for being there. Because think about it, somebody from Shreveport, Louisiana, going to school in Lubbock, Texas, it's a world away. It's totally different.
Uh-huh.
And even the fact that I committed there was God had his hand on there, on that decision. So I knew that I had to live up to his standards and not let him down.
And, you know, that's everything you said is exactly what needs to be heard, because, you know, like we both hit on earlier, and how most athletes come in, you know, with a mindset just on getting to the league. And so they're looking at role models in the league, and you see all of these guys in the news for domestic violence and for drugs and for whatever it may be. But you're one of those guys who didn't do that, and you did it God's way, and you put God first, and you still ended up in the NFL with everybody else who maybe didn't do it that way. And a lot of times that, go ahead.
Let me say one thing, man. Like, fame, fortune, you know, calls, all that would not make you happy. Mm. And when I give you peace, it's not going to make you sleep at night. You know, I have been around and associated and been friends with multi-million and billionaires. And, you know, they don't have peace. I have seen people with millions of dollars, you know, take their own lives, you know, destroy other lives. They're angry, they're mean, you know, they're not good people to be around.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that I've seen to give you peace, to give you contentment, to give you joy, is the word of God and a relationship with him. So a lot of people they watch TV, they see things that people put out and they project, and they're like, well, if I get this, I'll be happy. Well, if you're not happy with $2, how are you going to be happy with $2
million? Uh-huh.
So it's one of those things that I always kind of communicate to people that, you know, because when I meet people and they find out what I do, they automatically, you know, not everybody, but I can kind of see people kind of change their stance, and they kind of, you know, they kind of size me up a little bit different, or they might say something to me because they feel like, you know, I don't ever have a bad day. I don't ever have a problem. Everything is taken care of, but it's just not true. Because, you know, you live in this world, you wrapped in flesh, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have, but the only thing that's going to bring that peace and contentment and joy to your life is the word and a relationship with God.
And that, I mean, you can't be more true, because the Bible tells us that he who is faithful over a few, he'll make a ruler over many. And just like you said, if you're not happy with $2, you're not going to be happy with $2 million. But if you're content with that $2, you'll be content with that $2 million. Yeah. And you'll find that peace. And that's something that, you know, I had to really come to understand exactly what you said, how money and that fame, it doesn't bring you that joy and that happiness. But, growing up and being an athlete and, you know, always having aspirations of making it to the league, you know, that's what you equate it to. Like, man, I made it. I'm here. If I get this, if I get this million-dollar contract, if I, you know, they call my name in the draft, you know, I'm here, and everything's good now.
Yeah.
And even in, you know, with you working in that business and being in the NFL, were there any things that were challenging that you had to deal with coming in that you didn't expect going into the NFL?
It's definitely different than college, other than just the monetary part of it. It's definitely a business. If you're just strictly talking about the football aspect of it, it's not as glamorous as a lot of people think it is. It's a grind. You got to work. It doesn't change. Hard days of work is a hard day's work. But, you know, we just do, I just do something a little bit different. How you look at time is really different because, you know, your time is really, really valuable and you have to sacrifice a lot for other people. So making sure that you carve out the necessary time for your family members and staying plugged in to church and, you know, you travel a lot. You know, I might be in a different city every weekend, and even during the off season, I'm going here and there. So, one of the main purposes is staying plugged in. You know, you have your family members pulling you in different directions. If you got investments in business and everything, so you're almost like a little CEO of your own company. So, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, you have to find time to be alone with your loved ones and pretty much try to stay plugged in to your church and staying in your word. That's a big challenge too, because, you know, you get there, you know, there's no time restrictions like college is. You know, you get there, everybody want to make everything about football. So your life turns into, you know, day and night, you know. And in college, it's like, you know, you got football, you got school, you got friends. So it kind of, you kind of play that role. NFL is more like, you know, football is, they you know, your coaches and things want to make football your new guy. And you got to fight that instinct. You got to say, this is who I am. I believe in his word. I believe in his Bible. And this takes precedent over anything else. Because the Bible says, seek ye first kingdom of God and all the things be added to you. So if you keep the order right, you won't have a problem. But as soon as you get that balance turned and you say, you know, this sport is more important than this, you know, this sport, your family, you put the sport over your family, you put the sport over your God and everything else, that's when people have the problems and issues that they run into.
And you said a lot in that, and just how you said, and it says to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And earlier you were sharing your story, your testimony, and saying how in the ninth grade that in your second coming to Jesus, and how you really got serious about God, and you put God first, and education was up there, and your family was right behind God, and you did it in the right order, and how by you doing it in the right order and seeking God's kingdom first, all of those other things were added. You were able to go to the NFL, and you were able to, you know, have a good career in the NFL, and that fame and that everything else, that all was added to it. And so it just gave truth to God's word.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even then you said how it's in making it to the NFL, it's kind of like they're pushing that on you for that to become your God. And that to become your focus. And, you know, that gives me a newfound respect for you and just how you've been able to keep God as your priority, as your top priority, seeking his kingdom first. Because I mean, I wasn't fortunate enough to go to the NFL, but I know even in college how just being involved in football, yes, you have a lot of time for different things, but you can also get consumed in that becoming your guy because you want to get better and you want to take the spot of the person in front of you, and then when you get there, you want to keep that spot. And so you start pulling away time from when you will be studying, you go run routes or you go lift weights or you go do whatever in order to get better at football. And before you know it, that's consuming all your time. And, you know, that's us being from two football, I would say, powerhouses in our areas. That's something that a lot of high schoolers now is trickling down to more so not even just college, but in high school and even before that, because everybody's starting early now because they want to be the best. And it's becoming a god in so many people's lives of football and sports. And how you said you have to keep God first and keep your priorities in order. And it's a testament. And your life and your journey is a true testament to what God can do by putting him first. And, you know, it's what would you say is has been something that you consistently do in order to keep you strong in your faith, whether it's reading your word or the power. Like you said, I know you hit on it in college, when you were in college, about the community, the people you had around you. What is it now that you do that keeps you focused in your faith?
Just standing in your word, man, that's the biggest thing. Always. I kind of look at it like this, you know, we spend a lot of time seeking out things that at the end of the day really don't matter. You know, I always have, you know, my mom and my papa always sing the song, "Only What You Do for Christ Will Last." So it's one of those deals where I always want to go out and please God, and I always want to learn something new about him because, you know, I feel like, you know, you never can get enough of God. And, you know, God is always revealing new things to me and to his people. So, first and foremost, I try to get as much, you know, Bible reading, daily studies. You know, I even at one point, a couple of years ago, started taking an online course at Dallas Seminary because I just had a hunger and a thirst to find out more about the Word and learn. Because if you truly believe in it, that, you know, the Bible is inspired, a Word of God, why wouldn't you want to spend the time to know as much as possible about it and to actually use that and apply it to your daily life? So, you know, and the first thing I do, because I live in a couple different cities, the first thing I do is, you know, try to find a good Bible-based church and stay plugged in with them, you know, having people that you can talk to, people that can kind of keep you accountable is another big thing. Seeking out godly friends and people that you kind of lean on. My wife is another person that kind of keeps me straight, and you know, we fellowship together, and we do a lot of things in our church together, and with missions and things like that. But just, you know, on a daily basis, it's staying in the Word and finding support books and resources to stay plugged in. And try to do as much as possible to hear from God and hear what he's trying to tell me for that day.
And that's exactly it, man. You know, that's encouraging to me. You know, like you said, and just hearing you say at one point you were taking an online course at Dallas Seminary, I mean, that's something that, you know, it takes a sincere dedication to even seek that out. Because, like you said, when you really have that thirst and that desire for God's word, the more you get into it, the more you're gonna want. And it's
one thing I always learned was nothing is nothing is just going to happen. In everything you do, you have to be intentional about it. So, you know, just as me, if I want to be stronger, I can't just go in the weight room and walk around and hope that by being around weights, I'm gonna get stronger. I got to go in and so if I say I need a stronger chest, I need stronger legs, I have to go in there and seek out the exercise that I have to do and work at it really hard. So it's the same thing in your walk with Christ. If you have a weakness or if it's something that God reveals to you that you need to work on, you need to go out and be intentional about it. And everything that you do, be intentional about getting better and trying to hear the word and do the things and be in the will of God. And that's something I add in my prayer every day. I ask God to let your will be done and let me and help me walk in that will.
And that's deep right there. Just in you saying, let your will be done, but also let you help you to walk in that will. Because a lot of times God's will is always going to be done, and to a certain extent of, but it takes a whole nother mindset to walk in it.
Yeah.
And, that was deep. And, you know, with this Sunday being Easter, a lot of people just remember Easter as a day to dress up in nice clothes and go to church, have an Easter egg hunt. But tomorrow is Good Friday, signifying the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Sunday signifies his resurrection from the dead. Now, my question to you is, what does Jesus' resurrection mean to you?
It means salvation, man. It means that, you know, at the beginning of the world, you know, the first Adam sinned, and we were fallen, and we were condemned to death, and we were separated from God. And God came to earth, and he lived a perfect life. He showed us his example, and he died, and he rose again to bring us into the right union again with God. So, you know, I mean, it's the pillar that our faith stands on, and it means everything to me. And I know, you know, the more and more we live and more and more we see in this world, you know, our holidays and things like that are starting to become more trivial. But, you know, and the more and more you hear, you know, it kind of becomes a great story. But at that moment that Christ died, he took on every sin, past, present and future, and he took on the wrath of God for you and me. So just that picture at that moment when he died, it's a very powerful picture, and it's nothing that I did to deserve it. It was all by grace, and you know I can't boast on it, and it's no work that I do now that gives me the right to the gift that he gave me, but I look at it as a gift. So when he died, he gave me and everybody that believed in him that gift. So it's the most important picture and the most important staple and pillar of our faith.
And man, on that note, like you hit it on the head and saying, you know, that was a gift to us. God died for our sins, past, present, and future. And I just want to take this time to extend the invitation to anybody who's listening, who may be listening, who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, here's your chance. This is the perfect time. You know, Key just laid it out, you know, what resurrection really means and the significance behind it and how Christ is there to forgive. He's already died for our sins. And this is a perfect opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And if there's anybody out there and you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, I just ask for you to go to prayer with me and repeat this prayer with me. And let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
And for anybody who repeated their prayer and accepted Christ in your heart, I just want to say congratulations and welcome to the team. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family, because, you know, it's the whole concept of this show, The Recruit, is because we're all recruiters for Christ. You know, all of us who have accepted Christ, God gave us the great commission of to go ye and make disciples, to spread the gospel, to be a light. And that's what we want. That's what we want you to join the team, because there's no better squad than being on God's team. There's no better protection than being under the covering of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's really, I'm excited. I'm excited for all of you who accepted Christ, because with every commitment, me and Keith, we've been through the recruiting process of being recruited to college and giving our verbal commitment to Tech, and then signing on the dotted line and making it a binding commitment. But if you repeated that prayer, that's your verbal commitment that you just made. But there's an official commitment that's made in signing on the dotted line, but you do that by the life that you live every day. That's you signing on the dotted line, just living the life and walking the walk and putting feet to your faith. You know, it's not just about what your lips do, but it's about what your feet do and putting feet to your faith and living a life. And you grow in the knowledge of God, and you grow in the knowledge of Christ. Like he said, when you get in his word and seeking his kingdom first, and all of these other things will be added into you. And so I'm excited for all of my new teammates, because, I mean, we're working towards the same goal. And, I appreciate Key even being on the show. I appreciate you being on the show, man. But just like I said, Sunday is Easter now. Are there any Easter traditions that you have, or that you had since growing up, or that you and your wife now have since being married?
Not really traditions. Growing up, we always used to go to sunrise service. That was a big deal, waking up like at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to church. Actually, my dad's church was in East Texas.
Oh, okay.
I lived in Shreveport, but for the first, I think, 13 years of my life, I went to church in Texas. So we had to wake up way early to drive to East Texas to go to church.
But, okay, everything better.
Having like the three, four services. Staying there all day long, breakfast, with other than that. But now being married, I've been married for 5 years, and she's a Tech girl, so. But we just get up, we go to church and we worship and we fellowship and go get something to eat. But, it's a time of remembrance for us, but, it's always a happy, it's something about Easter Sunday. I don't know what it is, but it's always, it's almost like a renewal time, for me. But I don't have anything special. I just go in, I just love going to church and hearing about, Passion Week and about Christ dying and raising again for our sins.
And that's what's up, man. And, you've hit on your journey from high school to college to the NFL. Now, what are your plans for post-NFL? What is it that you plan on doing after your career in football?
Well, I'm actually, I own a couple businesses now. So I always love business, entrepreneurship. My immediate plan is probably going back to school and getting my MBA when I'm done, and then just continue running the businesses I have set up now. So, and then I'll probably get a lot more because my wife, she does some mission work in Malawi, Africa, at an orphanage. So I'll probably get more involved in that. Than I have been, because I hadn't made a trip with her yet. I feel like, because it's usually right in the springtime when I start OTAs and things like that. And she usually leaves for a month, and I never want to lose that much weight by traveling overseas during football. But I'll probably get more involved in that, and also starting a family and things like that. So.
Man.
I a couple plans, so you got to do that.
Yeah. Time is coming.
Yeah,
it's coming. Yeah, that's awesome, and that's something that we all need to hear. Just because a lot of times with athletes, like I said, there's stereotypes that come with it. But to see someone who did it God's way and continues to do it God's way, and who values education, and like you said, going back and wanting to get your MBA after football, and just how you're already the owner of different businesses, and that's a testament in itself. You know, just how putting God first, family second, education third. And now, you being married and you and your wife serving together and serving God together and recruiting together, you know, that's a blessing. And because that's the plan of God, for a man and a woman to come together in marriage, because the wife is the helpmeet. She helps the man meet the needs that God has instilled in his heart. And that's what y'all are doing. Y'all the image. And, I told y'all last week I just got engaged, and so it's encouraging to me, and it's a blueprint. I'm using it as a blueprint for me, you know, to walk in it and just to follow in that, and just using that your life and you guys' life as a light and as a model. And I just want to encourage you, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep living for God. Keep seeking Christ and keep pouring in and pouring out into others. Allow God to pour into you and you pouring out into others, because it's not in vain. And just like you said, you never came up to me physically in college and hit me over the head with a Bible or, you know, forcing a word on me, but it was just your walk. It was just how you live and how you carried yourself. And just continue to do that. I just encourage you to continue doing what you're doing. And I encourage all of our listeners to do the same. All of those who just accepted Christ, do the same. It ain't all about what you say, but it's just live the life, because there's always eyes on you. There's always eyes on you, and you never know. But I just want to give you this time real quick, Keith, if the people want to keep in touch with you or to kind of follow along with you, how could they do that?
Well, I'm not on the Twitter. I'm kind of old school, but I do have a Facebook. My name on there is Keith Dawson. I primarily use my Facebook as a missional tool. So I usually post inspirational pictures, daily bread, daily devotions, things like that. So, you know, I usually don't turn down anybody's prayer request, unless they're on there doing something crazy. But, you know, if you want to add me, you know, if you want to send me a request, I'll add you. And if you got any questions you want to ask me, you inbox me, just message me, and I'll be sure to get back to you. But, that's really the only way you can reach me, unless you got my phone number, and I'm not giving that out. But, that's it. Facebook, Keith Dawson, I ask you, and we can keep in touch.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it, people. Facebook, Keith Dawson. He's not finna give you his number. And I don't blame him. But, just this one, real quick, just one final thing. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners out there just about doing it God's way and the benefits of doing it God's way, or just a bit of advice, a nugget you want to drop in whoever's here? This is your time. You got it.
Yeah, man, I think the only thing I could say is to go with God, you know. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of pressures and a lot of people and a lot of temptations that can take you off, take you away from your walk, and a lot of distractions out there, especially now, that can take you from your walk. But you know, if you do it God's way, you know, at the very end, everything may not work out perfect, but at the very end, you know that the Creator of the heavens and earth is standing hand in hand and standing there with you, and you know, anything that comes your way, you'll be able to stand against it. So one of my favorite verses and one of my life verses is all things work together for good of those who love the Lord and call them according to his purpose. And that doesn't mean that everything that happens is gonna work out good, but at the end, you know, God's hand is gonna be on you. And at the very end, even bad things can be worked out to be to your ultimate good. So just keep your hand in God's hand and keep walking with Him.
You can go with God. And I like that. And, man, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Keith, for being on the show, man. It was definitely encouraging for me, and I know it was encouraging for all those listening in. But until we meet again, man, I say to you what you just gave advice to me. Go with God.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, man. I'll get at you later.
Yep.
And, again, that's been Keith Dawson, a free agent currently in the NFL. And as you can see, great man of God, great man of faith, and just an overall great friend to have, a great man to know. And I'd just like to, again, send my thanks out to him. But you've been tuned in to The Recruit with Adrian Reese, and we'll be broadcasting next week, same time on Thursday. Brought to you on Soar Radio by way of PDP Richardson. And until next time, be blessed and be real.